Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960, keeping it local, with high desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking. The following program is a discussion focused on mental health and wellness. It is for informational purposes only and should not be considered medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a qualified healthcare professional for personal medical concerns. The views and opinions expressed do not reflect those of Talk 960 AM.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
Good morning, Regina, and thank you again to our listeners. Hope everybody's having a good weekend and you're in for a real treat.
Yes, because this is part two, Roxanne, of our
three-part series.
Yes, our three-part series, and we're talking about men and their masculinity, strength, mental health, and well-being.
Yeah, and if you missed that last show, you can always tune into our podcast, and it's on our website, talk960.com. Just click on podcast, and it'll be there. So
we're here again with Cindy Bostick, who is a certified grief and crisis counselor, and also with Darren Paulson, who is the reason that we are having this conversation, because he's just been so transparent about sharing his life's experiences and journey, dealing with a lot of these issues from depression to anxiety to, you know, just being feeling in safe spaces to share the truth of who he is as a man, right? And also how that's viewed. And so today we're going to really jump in and talk about why it's so important to identify, define, and understand grief versus mourning, right? And so, Cindy, I'm gonna ask you, why is it important to distinguish between grief and mourning? And especially, why is that important for men?
And is there a difference, grief and mourning?
Yeah. In my experience, people tend to intermingle the two terms, grief and mourning, and they are very different. And it's important that we all understand what the difference is. Grief is what we feel on the inside when we lose something, someone. Mourning is the outward expression of those feelings. So if you grieve a loss and keep it bottled up,
you're not mourning.
You're not mourning, and you aren't expressing. You aren't getting it out. You aren't on your way to healing.
Okay.
So it's really, I tell people in workshops, you know, if you guys take one thing away, make sure it's the understanding of the need to mourn. It's more than grieving.
Okay.
And too many men carry grief silently because nobody ever told them it was okay to mourn. Quite the opposite, you know, as Darren talked about last night.
Right. Well, these are conversations that we generally don't have because they're uncomfortable, because it usually centers around the loss of a loved one. And we somehow have it in our heads that I don't want to bring that up. I don't want to make you upset. I don't want to, right? You know, instead of that probably is what needs to happen. We need to talk. We need to share. Yeah. We need to start to get that out and explore where that has left us, right? Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Absolutely. Because grief that stays locked up, it hardens, you know, and it can turn into anger. It can turn into numbness. You know, in the last show, we talked about numbing and all of that. You know, just think about a pressure cooker or a volcano. You know, there's all this brewing underneath with no place to go.
Right.
Well, you know what? It's going to find a way out in some form or fashion.
And so holding on to that can do what? What impact can that have? Is there a physical, mental, emotional impact that can have on us?
All of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. And, you know, one of the most extreme examples is what we talked about earlier, and that is the taking of one's life. You know, the suffering and the pain and the lack of hope is just too great.
Right. And so then that starts to become, seem like the resolve or the best option, right?
Yeah.
I know, I want to bring Darren in to the conversation because, Darren, I know you have a very personal experience with grief and mourning. And so I'm just going to open it up so that you can share with us as much of that experience as you are comfortable with.
Regina, again, thank you again for this opportunity. This is going to be a hard discussion. But I think it's something that needs to get out because I think ultimately my journey and getting through this, I think, and my hope is that it will help others.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about my experience dealing with mourning and grief. And this mourning and grief is really about a woman who I spoke about earlier in our last interview, and that was my mother. There's a long history in my mother's family of depression and suicide. And after my father's death, there were a couple years after where my mother was in some pretty significant pain and some health issues she was dealing with, and I was, you know, working very hard to help her through those. And she was definitely one of those positive people in the world, right? I mean, let's get deep into stories. I love stories. Let's talk about a movie called Pollyanna, if you've ever heard about it.
Yes, I love it. One of my favorites.
Right?
It's with Haley Mills?
With Haley Mills,
yes.
Right? And what is she always looking for, right? She's always looking for, you know, the silver lining.
Lining,
right?
Yes.
And in my mother's world, it didn't matter when I approached her with any kind of emotional thing. Darren, there's always a silver lining. Mm-hmm. So she was my Pollyanna to me.
Yes.
And through these struggles and her pain and the loss of my father, There came a point where she came to me and very, you know, in a manner shared with me the fact that she felt unsafe. Mm. That there was a point in a few weeks past where she came to me and said, Darren, you need to come help me. Somebody pulled into the driveway into the house she was living all by herself and said, you know, you need to show me how to load Dad's gun because I'm scared.
Okay.
Okay.
You were like,
and 3 weeks later, my mother took her own life with the gun that I had showed her how to load.
Okay.
A lot of guilt.
Yes.
A lot of shame that, oh my God, was I the one who facilitated her desire?
Yeah, I can only imagine there.
And very difficult when you lose somebody with suicide because you're going to get mixed feelings from different people.
Yes.
Right? People who wanted to judge
my
mother for what she had done.
Yes.
A woman who had a fantastic faith. Right?
Yes.
But in the eyes of a sin that is not can't be overcome. So where do you find somebody to go talk to about this? Because I wasn't going to let anybody tell me that my mom,
that's right,
wasn't worthy.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So the grief was this, right, was the outpouring of the emotion.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
The mourning was the most difficult part. It was the journey to getting to, one, relieve myself of the self-blame,
yeah.
Right? To relieve myself of the anger that I had towards her, some of the that I felt, you know, leaving me my children, but coming to peace ultimately with the pain and suffering she was dealing with that we didn't know about, that she protected and shielded us from.
Yes,
and through all of that, still gave us the model for what, in my mind, a mom. Mm-hmm. Should give to her children.
Mm-hmm.
What a grandmother should give to her grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that blessing and say, that's the focus I need. And the mindset of, instead of in this point where it's the positive affirmations, it's the reaffirming of the positivity and the positive impact that she brought to the world.
Right.
And just find joy in that. For however much time she was here. And, you know, I say that, and there's been, and there's some great stories where my mom worked at Victor Valley High School. And she was a career guidance counselor. And I love, you know, when I meet people and talk to people about, you know, hey, did you graduate from Victor High School during this period of time? Yeah, I did. Did you know my mom?
Yes.
Positive stories.
Oh, yeah.
That I've learned. Right?
Yes.
The dental assistant at my dentist one time looked at my last name and she goes, was your mom, you know, this person? I'm like, yeah. She goes, the reason I do this job today is because of your work. Right?
Yes.
People like that, that she impacted so positively. Thank God she was the light in the world for the time she was here. And take, be proud and feel blessed for the time that I was able to spend with her. Needs to be my focus going forward because, you know, as Cindy mentioned, those people that hold on to grief. I mean, and I know people like that in my life today who have lost individuals that are gone now 7 years, 8 years, that can't relieve themselves of the pain. And it is, for me, looking at them going, I get it. I know the pain. The best you is not this person.
That's right.
You are not giving to the world your full glory and ability.
That's right. So it sounds like, Darren, the grace that you are able to come to within yourself to, one, forgive yourself. And then with that same grace, getting to the point where you better understood where your mother was. As a person who was also in pain and grieving,
Absolutely.
And so it's a process. And you will never move forward. You will never start to heal. You will never start to get better if you don't go through the process, but you just hold on, to the grief.
I have a question of Darren. During your mourning period, what helped you heal? Did you connect with a counselor, a therapist, a coach, all of the above?
All of the above.
Family.
All of the above. Okay. I definitely reached out to a therapist who I've used many times in my life, to help me overcome. And basically, she just helps me facilitate conversations with my other surrounding group, Here's your support group, Darren. Just go find them and seek them out. But here's what you need to help me through the discussion points,
Because we all need one.
Well, yeah, because I'm walking and going, they're going to hit me with this question, and how am I going to deal with this question? So that's what a therapist has done for me. Just help me better prepare for the world that I'm going, the real world that I'm going to run into. The other thing that was very helpful for me, because there were some pastors who absolutely were not on my side, And, you know, finally finding one pastor who basically came to me and said, how deep was her faith? I said, it's just immeasurable. She goes, did she love Jesus Christ? Absolutely. She said, Darren, if she prayed that prayer, no different than the man on the cross, before her death.
That's right.
That's where she's going.
And
once I got to that, that was another key component.
That lifted. Yeah.
Isn't it terrible how, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's just, you know, you said something really important. I think it's just terrible how we judge each other. You know, even people in the quote unquote church believers, you know, it's just horrible.
Yeah, we got to get out of that tree. Got to get out of that tree of judgment, right? We just have to
It's poison.
It is poison, and it
it's not our job.
It's not our job.
I sell that to everybody.
Yes. Darren, I just really want to sincerely thank you, you know, for your candor, you know, because I believe, too, just like you, that there is one somebody who's listening this morning who listened last week, who is starting to think differently and feel differently. And if that's the case, then this has been great. It's wonderful, there's something that's called disenfranchised grief that I want to talk about. And so, Cindy, can you kind of tell me what that is and give me some examples that men often carry?
Absolutely. Disenfranchised grief is a type of grief that can result from both death and non-death losses. And it's a grief that's not properly acknowledged or honored by our communities, by society, usually because of stigma in the thing we were talking about a minute ago, judgment.
Judgment, yes.
Of ourselves.
Yes.
And of others. The best definition I have found on disenfranchised grief is by a Dr. Kenneth Doka, and this is what he says. Disenfranchised grief is like trying to heal a wound no one believes exists.
Oh, wow.
That's disenfranchised grief. In other words, your grief is invisible. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine, you know, what that feels like.
Right.
Abandon. It's ugly.
And how does that show up? Can you give me some examples of how
it's ignored?
That kind of shows up in men. That men often carry that. Is it in the loss of a job?
Also retirement too.
Retirement,
you know, as a man,
loss of job, incarceration, feeling like a failed provider, being estranged from your children. Roxanne, you mentioned retiring. Yeah, loss of purpose.
A loss of purpose, yeah.
After retiring.
Exactly. This is, you know, for a lot of men, you know, women as well, but for men especially, you know, who are known as like the breadwinners, you know, in that, you know, the older generation and even now, where, like you said, Cindy, they're loss of purpose. They've been doing something for years.
Yes.
They can't, you know, what's next? What's their next purpose?
Right.
Exactly. So
right.
Their routine is gone. Yeah.
Don't move on. And I have to wonder if there's a link between that suicide rate in the
over
65 group and in this.
Right.
You know, that we're talking
that
about.
That's true.
To kind of tag in on that, you know, that particular group of men, that generation of men, they were so tied into who they were was what they did.
Yes. That's right.
Right?
It defines.
So my value as a human being, right, is so interlocked into my job, my career, my title,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so once I don't have that, I don't know who I am.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Becoming a caregiver is another one.
Mm.
You know, there are men, and my dad was one of them. My mother had Alzheimer's, and before we got to the point where we had to bring in caregivers to the house, he was caring for her. And one day he called my sister and I. He said, come and get her. I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless him for articulating, you know, where he was.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right, because anybody who has ever done that understands that's huge.
Oh, my God.
That's so consuming, and it's huge.
Yes.
Darren, I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, because there's often shame that's attached with, you know, the loss of a job or what society tells men they're supposed to be or how they're supposed to handle things. And I want to hear your voice about those things and you know, I'm sure you've had some of that experience. And so how you've handled it to remain healthy.
You know, it's funny, this show, as we've gone through, you know, some of it is, you know, we've done a lot of prep work. Other times it just kind of naturally matures down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny how conversation that you just had. So when I lost my mom, it was June. 2 months later, I had to take over as conservator of my brother. I had to become a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
A month later, I was unexpectedly reorganized from a job that I had been.
Oh, okay.
So when you talk about, you were
can
I hit with grief? Can I be hit with that? Literally in a period of 4 months, all three hit me at the same time.
Yeah, trifecta. Yeah.
And, you know, people were so worried, right? Darren, you know, you've suffered from depression in the past, right? And being older, being more mature, right, having, you know, done a lot of this growth.
Developing some skills, having some tools.
People were amazed, really and truly. I amazed, in some ways, my own self, because I really, at that point, was like, God's got this. I got this, right? Literally, we're like, Darren, but you're off work. I'm like, yeah, But they gave me a severance. I get 3 months off.
Right. Mm.
And guess what? During the time I'm off, I'm like, well, I can go to do all the legal dealings to take over and do my brother's conservatorship. Now I'm not having to do work and that at the same time. What a blessing. Right.
Right?
God took care of me even in the worst time of my life. Thinking, oh my gosh. He just said, Darren, you got the big shoulders. You can carry this. I'm going to give you a little time off to go take care of that and get it fixed and get ready.
Yes.
And I did. Literally, it was 2 weeks before my severance was to end, and I got a phone call that was like, Darren, I got a job for you. I'm like, how fantastic.
Yes. Right?
I mean, I literally had the job, my brother's issues, my mom's issues of dealing with all of the what it takes to, you know, to process, you know, all the what happens after death. And all those things were done. The new job. Just give it to God, please.
That's right. Do you have a question? Do you feel like prior to this, you had endured quite a bit, successfully, more than endured? Do you feel that you were stretched during that process and maybe better prepared for the next storm?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. I mean, we don't know our life story.
That's right.
Right. All we need to do is listen. Right? All we need to do is follow. Right?
That's right.
My faith. Right? Look, there can be no testimony without test.
That's right.
And God, thank you for my test.
Yeah.
And I am going to move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this conversation is just further, you know, of what I'm asked to do.
Here's what I want to ask you. How can we create space for men to name and honor those hidden losses?
Create space. What can community do, right? Is that kind of your question? What
can we do in our homes, in our relationships? I mean, does it start just by listening? How can we start to create these spaces for men to feel safe?
Start young.
Okay, great.
Right, I mean, I was very blessed. I was the father to three daughters. Okay?
Okay.
Right?
And so the only man in the house.
So the only man in the house, but being emotionally available allowed me to connect very well with my daughters.
Yes.
There's great relationship and trust and emotional trust between us, right? As a father today, I can say I probably know way too much personal than probably any dad should know about his daughters.
Right.
But it's been a wonderful experience, right?
Right.
And now, right, my first three grandchildren are boys.
Oh wow.
Right? Uh-huh. So for the girls in my life, it was about, as a man, being kind of as you said, provide the example for the man that you want your daughters
Yes.
Find an emotionally available, strong man who is there to be a partner in your life, not a dominant force on your life, right? Men that open a door, men that respect, men that trust. And I have to show that to my wife so that my daughters see that's what should be expected of the man. Now, as these grandsons are there for me to help mold, now it's for me to tell them and share with them, being emotional is okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to cry.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel that, you know,
yes.
if you're sad or you're angry, express that.
Right.
And there's a good way to do that and a negative way to do
that. Right. Start and involving them generationally.
Mm-hmm. It takes a, right?
I want to get this in, self-care and coping strategies, because we've talked about a lot with grief, understanding what grief is versus mourning, the distinction between the two. You've shared powerfully some of the things that you've had to experience and overcome in order to sit here with us today and be able to have this conversation, right? Can you just kind of, both of you I'm going to ask, just kind of talk about what are some forms of self-care that may be helpful for someone going through that grief or mourning period?
Being the man I am, ladies go first.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Nice. Oh, well.
I'll start with boundaries.
Okay.
You know, having boundaries is very important. You know, I, I spoke last week about, you know, self-care doesn't look for guys like it does sometimes for us. No, right. Bubble baths or spa days. But, you know, getting enough sleep, saying no, asking for help.
Right.
Disconnecting.
It's important.
Yeah.
Darren, anything you want to?
Well, I think she hit on a number of things that I absolutely practice, right? So it's a self-awareness of understanding what you need to heal. And it's all different depending on what I'm feeling and at what level I'm feeling, right?
Right.
If I'm feeling, you know, a deep depression or stress, I do need to go find some time alone because I need to be able to externalize my feelings, but I need to prepare to externalize them. They can't come out in a knee-jerk reaction of anger. That's just not beneficial. Right? And then sometimes my wife takes that very personally. Is it expressing onto her? And I don't want it to be onto her.
Yeah. Right.
So I need to find time. I need to find space. I will seek out others. Right, to help me, right? The men in my church group, you know, how do you deal with that? At times I've had to reach out to therapists.
Right.
Sometimes that alone time is, yes, just get on my bike and go for a ride.
Right.
I love your self-awareness.
But, yeah. I was going to say, self-awareness, being present in that moment.
Yeah.
It's key.
Yeah.
And I think the truth of it is being honest with yourself. You know, so often we are not honest with ourselves. We put that face up and what the public sees, what community sees, what our family sees, and when we're in that quiet space of just us, right, we're not even honest in that, right? And so, my goodness, I just think all of this is such great conversation, and I'm hoping that it inspires our listeners to start to have like conversations, because these are all things that all of us, if you haven't already, you will be dealing with some level of grief and or mourning, right? Challenges, right? Learning to pivot in life, feeling overwhelmed at times and trying to figure out how do I balance it and move forward. Right? And so these are all good things that I think will help to focus us to keep us healthy and well. Right? I'm excited. Please join us next week for week 3 because we're going to be talking about healing, hope, and growth. I want to thank you guys again for being here with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.